The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
I'm Tiger for par.
Just needs to put this on the right edge, dude, with good level speed.
The wind is out of the sails.
It's not going to sleep well tonight. You can bet on that.
Yeah, this one's going to sting for a while.
Yeah, Tiger Woods and the Calgary Flames on the same day. Huh? Oh, the Flames haven't been mathematically eliminated. Word was going around after the loss in Toronto, which was attended by Rod Francis, that the Canadiens had been officially eliminated. A lot of people picked up on that. That's not the case. Like, I know nobody's holding out hope, but they are not yet mathematically eliminated.
No, there's still too many points available, potentially available for them.
It would be appropriate if his 100th putt this week dropped for birdie.
And it does! What a finish for McIlroy!
Man, what a putting exhibition. That is a smooth little 8-under par the last 13 holes.
What drama, what a build-up, huh? So everybody impressed, for obvious reasons, but Tiger's last tournament appearance, and knowing how well he has been over the years at the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill, and so much so that the odds makers already made him a favorite to win the Masters in early April. And to have that kind of finish with Rory McIlroy and Tiger nip and tuck at the very end of the tournament, is you couldn't ask for more.
No, that's right. I mean, the only thing that was unusual through all this was that Tiger hit something out of bounds. I mean, it's just not something you expect to happen, and it's an indication. The other thing is he kind of faded. Like Tiger on Sundays, you're used to him ascending.
Out of bounds?
Out of bounds. Literally went out of bounds.
Oh, he's pulled this left. This is headed toward the OB fence.
Uh-oh. That is out of bounds. That is out of bounds.
You've got to be kidding me.
Double crossed it. In golf?
Unbelievable.
That.
Yeah, that's
is amazing.
Yeah.
I was caught. I didn't decide what I was going to do. If I hit driver, I got to fit it. I got to cut it in there. And I was just in the back of my mind. I said, why don't you just bomb it over the top? And it's only a 315, 320 carry, and I didn't commit to it and bailed out and hit a bad shot, and that's on me for not committing.
On 16.
Yeah, I mean, uncertainty and lack of clarity, and when you think you might take one approach and you change your mind at the last second, that can affect anyone, even Tiger Woods, as he showed. But he dissected it pretty clearly, so he should be able to get over it. And as we get closer to the Masters, a couple weeks away now, Tiger generally, I think, still pretty happy with his game over the 4 days.
I had three different shots there. You know, I could have, if I hit driver and I tried to fit it. Well, I felt pretty good out there. I hit the ball probably a little bit better than I did last week. This golf course affords the opportunity to go ahead and stretch it out a little bit. The greens were really smooth and really fast. And I feel like I've really putted well this week, the entire week. I've hit a lot of good putts.
And again, in case you missed us just before the 4:30 update with Mitch Gallo, Rory McIlroy celebrating a win St. Patrick's weekend. But
yeah, there was one guy out there, I kept yelling my wife's name. I was going to go over and I think it's gotten a little much, to be honest. I think they need to limit alcohol sales on the course, so they need to do something, because every week it seems like guys are complaining about it more and more.
So there you have it. Rory McIlroy complaining about alcohol sales St. Patrick's weekend. Of all the potential storylines coming out of Bay Hill, I think out of, you know, 100 possibilities, that would be like 115.
Yeah, especially coming from an Irishman himself. And yeah, you could hear a few catcalls, and I'm not the one who's being hollered at, but I thought he'd have thicker skin.
All right. Occasionally, at the beginning of the show or between the 4 and 5 hour, we got a groove going in the studio, which has nothing to do with us, but there's a vibration that takes place that we could feel all three of us through six legs. We can feel something happening downstairs. And today was one of those days because the sheepdogs are here. They're going to be performing on Shom Live tonight. So your guys are going through sound check. Welcome, Ewan.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, man. Good to be here. Yeah.
And?
Ryan.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you guys, there's no way you could play for the Leafs.
What is that?
Well, Lou Lamoriello makes Thomas McCanns was traded there, and he couldn't even have a little tiny goatee. One of those anal retentive
like Steinbrenner.
Control
yeah,
freaks.
Like the Yankees, yeah.
That's right.
It's disappointing. It's probably very cold.
When Giambi had that sweet stash on the Yankees, when he went from the A's to the Yankees, he had that sweet mustache.
That's
like a cop.
Right. Yeah. So you guys are like literally at the end of a long cross Canada tour, right?
Yeah, we actually finished it in Halifax on St. Patrick's Day. Had a big blowout out there, and now we're just stopping on the way back west to do a little thing for Shom here.
In support of Changing Colors, we spoke to you on the phone when the album was just launched. So wait a minute, you finish St. Patrick's Day, a sold-out blowout in Halifax. Mm-hmm. First of all, what was that like?
Pretty wild.
It was pretty wild. And it's funny because like in Halifax, people start drinking at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like bars open at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. So I got up at I think 9 or 10, was walking to get coffee, and people were stumbling around the streets. So you can imagine at 1 AM of that same day, it was quite the interesting scene. It was like a mixture of people going crazy and then almost being like booze stunned. Like they didn't really like know what they were doing or where they were.
See, that would explain Dan Robertson very well. He's the voice of the Habs on our radio station is from Halifax.
There you go.
And a year ago on St. Patrick's Day was quite eventful for you as well. Do you remember where you were?
I don't know. I know 2 years ago we actually played the same venue in Halifax for St. Patrick's Day, but that's not a day I typically recall things clearly.
You guys were in Ottawa saluting the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's right.
That's right, yeah.
Of course, yes. A bit of a foggy memory.
That's okay. Yeah. So what is it? How many of these have you done now, these cross-Canada
on the bus, you know, month and a half, 2 month long tours. We've done, I think, four now. But, you know, prior to that, we did a lot of crisscrossing in the van, you know, a lot less pomp and circumstance.
And a lot less people.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're fortunate that we get to travel across the country and have seen it many, many times. But, you know, it's a part of the job. So we've done a lot of cross-country trips.
And I know a lot of our listeners were probably at the Corona Theater just like 10 or 11 days ago, right? Beautiful Corona Theater.
Great show.
Yeah. And is there a favorite spot?
Well, you know, Corona Theater right here in Montreal. Yeah. Anytime a radio guy asks me that, I always just go, where am I?
Hey, that happened. I was at a bluegrass festival in Vermont, and the legendary Ralph Stanley came out of the bus.
Oh, yeah.
And just as they were starting, he said, it's nice to be here. And he turned around to his son. He goes, where are we? And the mic picked it up.
Oh, God.
Well, when you're one of the Stanley brothers, you can say whatever you want. Yeah.
So, are you a CFL fan in general? I know the background at the University of Saskatchewan. Are you an Argos fan? I forget if we went through this.
Oh, no way! I'm a Rough Riders fan. I mean, I grew up in Saskatoon, and my, you know, when I was a kid in the '90s, my dad was working out of province, and in those days, the Rough Riders were not as crazy. You know, they didn't show all the games on TV back then, so I would tape the games off the radio on these like audio cassettes that would have like not enough, you know, I'd have to keep flipping them over and changing them, and then he'd come back and listen to the taped audio of the radio broadcasts of these Rough Rider games in the '90s.
Wow. So give us some names from those.
Don Narcisse, who had his stupid consecutive game of the reception streak that was like our shining achievement. Reggie Slack was our QB. Sure. Took us to the Grey Cup in '97.
Yeah, mobile quarterback.
Yeah, he was. We got crushed by Doug Flutie in his last year before he went to the NFL.
Right.
Bobby Jurison came back at one point. Actually, at Bobby J coached me at Huskies camp in about 2003, and he just hated me. Just hated. He had it in for me, man. He did not like me.
Did you have a beard and long hair?
No, I was actually quite clean shaven, and I had like a buzz cut. So, you know, different man.
Just a personality clash?
I don't know, but I know that one of the other coaches, Warren Mazzica, who was a former Ty Cat and played for the Huskies too, hated him, so he liked me for that. So it's, I don't know, these coaches are, the ex-football players have had a few too many shots to the head, I think, you know.
So at what point did you go from wanting to be a pro football player to wanting to be a musician, a working musician?
Well, I only played 3 years of football at the U of S, and the last year that I was in, I was playing football, was also the first year that Ryan and I started the band. And pretty soon, like, I was pretty good at football, but you know, there was no real future for me, and certainly not one that involved a career. And also, you know, the beating that you took, especially now as we learn more and more about, you know, CTE, the effects of CTE and all that stuff. And but I pretty quickly figured out that I could sing a lot better than I could tackle. And just, I was, you know, from that point on, I was thinking about playing the guitar and not so much about, you know, plugging the B gap and stuff like that.
We touched on this with you and Curry and Ryan Gullin of the Sheepdogs when we had you in on the phone just before the record launched, about how your life has exploded and changed when you guys are jamming in a, literally in a garage somewhere, and all of a sudden you're on the cover of Rolling Stone, and it hasn't stopped. How have you dealt with that?
Well, I mean, because it hasn't stopped, we haven't had much time to even really think about it. But, I mean, it was a long road. I mean, we were a band for 7 years before the Rolling Stone stuff happened, so we had a lot of lead-up time, which I think has made us more appreciative, but also been able to, like, capitalize on it more. Because I think part of the problem when you, a lot of bands will suddenly like get this big opportunity, they won't have like the reps, and you know, it's no different than like, you know, a guy might in baseball or something like that, well, has all the years of playing A ball, double A, triple A, but so when it actually comes to being in the show, it's a good thing. And so in the same way, it's like we had all these reps of traveling around and doing that, so we've been able to handle it a lot better. I think that we are smarter in the way we do things, we're older in the way we do things, so it's not just all partying and whatever, but we're very like smart about it. So
what was that Moneyball thing? It was like picking a pitcher that had played years of college versus a kid right out of high school. We got the college experience.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's what Ryan's saying. Yeah.
Do you see yourself, yourselves as ambassadors for Saskatchewan from here on out, no matter what happens?
Well, yeah. I mean, a little bit. I mean, I hesitate to say that because, you know, because then you get yourself into trouble if you say the wrong thing or something. And you know, I'm proud to be from Saskatchewan. That's where we're from and where we grew up. And we fly the flag off our keyboard every show we play all over the world. You know, so if that's all it takes, I'll take that role. But
I mean, obviously, I think it's if any way we can help encourage people from Saskatchewan. Because, I mean, the problem with Saskatchewan, it's not a problem, but the challenge is it's geographically isolated. I mean, when we started touring, it was 8 hours to Winnipeg or 7 hours to Calgary. And it's like, that's what you're dealing with constantly. So if our success, and we could champion that and help support any bands or anybody doing music to pursue that and really take it on, because it does take a commitment. I mean, we're really happy to do that. I think outside of that is anything we can do to, you know, make Saskatchewan a thing. But I think Saskatchewan's always going to be challenged with the fact that it is kind of in the middle of nowhere, and so, but it's a wonderful place to be from, so we try to, like you said, fly the flag as much
and
as we can.
Really flat.
It is.
It
although
is,
a misconception about Saskatchewan is the northern Saskatchewan is like the Canadian Shield. It's like, it looks like northern Ontario, and there's like 100,000 freshwater lakes in northern Saskatchewan.
But we didn't live there.
And we didn't live there, but it's like,
and I didn't travel there.
Yeah. I know, and I'm like, just 2 hours north. It's beautiful.
Mitch, quickly.
It's funny because you guys were sound checking downstairs, and we're in a soundproof studio, and I could hear you guys perfectly and knew exactly what song you guys were playing.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
And
that
song, I heard it a little while ago, the newest single. I heard it on a show, I guess, you know, a few months back, and it has this melody, like, right away. It's just stuck in my head every time I hear it.
Perfect.
And I'm wondering,
you know,
what's been the feedback to that single?
First single is called Hole. I've got a hole where my heart should be, and I think it got to number one on rock radio in Canada, which is a big, you know, thing for us, because it's a couple albums ago that we had that success with a single, and it's just like, you know, affirmation that we're doing, you know, things that people want to hear. And the other big one is we go and play live, and, you know, every new tour you do, you're like, please be into our new music and don't just be waiting to hear the hits. You know, like if you go and see, like, you know, the Eagles or something, and we got a new album, you're just waiting for Take It Easy and stuff like that. But like, everybody's singing along. They're really jazzing the new stuff. And yeah, it's been really encouraging, because, you know, man, we love music that's immediate, that like when you hear it, it's like putting some delicious food in your mouth. You don't have to think about it. It's like, this is good, you know.
You're in the right city for that.
Oh, yeah.
You got a chance, did you sleep today, or you get a chance to walk around, or...
We like, rolled in a town. We just woke up on the bus, and they're actually going to bring us some Schwartz's. So,
yeah. So we're ready for a nap this afternoon for the show.
The Sheepdogs' brand new album is Changing Colors. What time, Donald, are they on tonight at Shome? 10 o'clock? 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock on Shome. All right.
Check it out.
Here's the new single. Well, it's not so new anymore. I've got A Hole Where My Heart Should Be from the album Changing Colors. Ewan and Ryan from the Sheepdogs. Great to see you guys.
Good to see you, fellas.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for dropping in. Wings and take flight. I got a hole where my heart should be. I got a hole where my heart should be. I got a hole where my heart should be. I got a hole where my heart should be. Stupid question about the Argos. Huh? I wanted to ask him about Anthony Calvillo. He probably would have had an opinion on Anthony Calvillo.
You know, timing's everything, and it was, you know, the stars were aligned for me in 2008 when I went to Montreal, and Anthony Calvillo was there, and I just feel really lucky to have him, to be, have him be a part of our staff, and give him a chance to, you know, grow and to help us, so I couldn't be more pleased.
Who's next? Huh? Grey Cup champs in Toronto, Trestman, Pop, Calvillo? You know, it's too bad he had to go through the rough stages of a coaching career, which he wasn't quite ready for here instead of there.
You're so right. Those learning, he's going to be so much better because he went through those rough times. But Mitch said it. If only that could have happened somewhere else, he could have come back here as a more polished coach.
And, you know,
quarterback. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Coach. Sorry.
Well, they need a quarterback,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And the way I look at it, it just, I don't know exactly what Anthony Calvillo's relationships were with the previous coaches that he had here in Montreal. Whether it was Jacques Chapdelaine or whoever. I mean, we've been through so many, even when Anthony Calvillo was coaching. I don't know what the relationship was, but it never felt like a close connection. It always felt like Anthony Calvillo was kind of forced because that's what the Wendhal family wanted. But now with Trestman, I just know their working relationship is so good. How early they used to wake up together to prep for a game, and now they get to do it all over again in a different scenario as coaches in Toronto.
Once again, thanks to Ewan Curry and Ryan Gullen. Ewan, of course, leader of the Sheepdogs. Ryan on bass, also one of the founding members of the Sheepdogs. He must have thought I was nuts. I was staring at him because I thought Ewan was coming in with his brother, and I kind of knew it wasn't his brother, but, you know, they all have these beards. And anyway, tonight, 9 o'clock on Show 'Em. When we come back, more on the Habs and Panthers and a chance to win tickets to see ZZ Top in August.
Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Ginsberg's Ingra. Struggling to make ends meet with your debts? Get your free consultation with a licensed insolvency trustee at Ginsberg's Ingra. GinsbergsIngra.com/makeendsmeet.
And remember, you qualify for the employee's discount of $13,281 and the best guarantee on the market.